Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 79. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, Merry Christmas.
Dude, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you.
Happy Holidays to all of our listeners. Dude, this is like the holiday episode of Dudes on Hockey.
It is. We're recording a little early this week because you're leaving town. So unfortunately, for our loyal listeners, we can't give you our take on the Chicago game. We are only able, due to recording restrictions, to see the Dallas game, but we're giving that take and tons of other fun stuff in this, our second annual holiday special.
Dude. That's right, dude. I'm making my annual mecca to Mississippi.
That's right.
For the holidays, dude. This is actually going to be there on Christmas Day, which is not normally when we're there after Christmas. So, dude, I'm making Christmas dinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
I know. Well, I'm ready to step up to the challenge.
You're just going to email the Mississippi River Kings and see what they serve?
Listen, I am so bummed out that the River Kings are not going to be there. That's the CHL
Central Hockey League, not the Canadian Hockey League. The Central Hockey League.
Last year, I went and checked out a River Kings Louisiana Shreveport Mudbugs game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're going to be out of town this holiday season.
That's heartbreaking.
So we'll be making turkey and all the fixings, but the good news is if I screw it up, there's a Popeye's chicken around the corner.
Nice, dude. So everybody wins.
Everybody wins. I'll be going to the Paula Deen buffet.
Wow.
Gotta love that. Have some fried pickles. There's riverboat gambling. Mm. I'll be pooping pecan pie for days.
That place has everything.
It sure does. You want to come?
No.
Oh.
Dude, we got Dallas and Anaheim this week. These are the only two games that happened. Just finished watching the Dallas game. It was a good win. Dallas is tough.
Come on. Now, we have to start with what might be the blooper
of the year. Yeah.
This was a Ryan O'Byrne type moment from last year where he put the same kind of play, actually.
Yeah, it was. The Ryan O'Byrne situation was he was on the Montreal Canadiens and it was actually a delayed penalty. And he, I don't know, I think he maybe tried to pass it behind the net, but he ended up passing it right to the net and the goalie had already vacated to get the extra skater on. And oh, goal against. And it counts. This time, Ivan Vishnevsky, a rookie playing for the Dallas Stars, mishandles the puck with a little ways left, and Ryan Clough ends up getting the easiest goal of his career because he barely even touched it. So
yeah, he actually passed it back into their zone, and he just completely mishandled it. So this guy looked pretty ashamed. He might be ticketed back to the AHL after that sort of blooper moment.
Yeah.
Because I was fully expecting them to score, dude, just the way things go for the Sharks in the third period.
That's the thing. This is sort of my Scrooge moment of this Christmas episode or holiday episode, is that if that didn't happen, dude, the Sharks would have lost the game. No question in my mind at all. The Sharks would have lost.
They've done that twice already this year, and it looked like they were going to do it again.
So it's hard for me to see this win tonight as that great of a win, because like I said, if it weren't for that blooper, they definitely would have scored with the man advantage, and Dallas is killer in OT, and the Sharks are terrible, and it would have been another loss. So I don't see this win as like way to buck up, boys, although they played well on the whole. But Dallas played better, and they didn't even have Mark Fistrick or Trevor Daley. And this is a bit of a theme, because we played the Ducks, and they had no Solani and no Joffrey Leupold either. And until the third period, that game was very much in question. I still thought the Anaheim could win that game. And it wasn't until late in the third that the Sharks finally scored a couple goals to put it out of reach.
Right.
So here's two games against two teams, division teams, that are missing some key players.
Below 500
teams. And the Sharks can't beat them convincingly.
True.
That's not good. Not good.
Well, I wouldn't say that the Ducks game wasn't a convincing win, because, I mean, it ended up being 4-1 and the Sharks dominated most of that game. They had a stretch in the third period that was pretty, the first 5 minutes, it looked like they might have blown it. But, you know, you can't play a perfect game every night. And I thought the end result, the thing about the Anaheim game that I liked is I thought that all four lines were rolling.
Mm-hmm.
the fourth line especially, which was such a problem last year against the Ducks, where Parros and Brown and Nokalainen, they just killed us. You know, I mean, they were everywhere. And our guys, they were all over them.
That's right.
So that was nice to see that that's certainly not a factor anymore, although this is definitely a different Ducks team this year than last year. And now my brother-in-law is a Ducks fan. He lives down in Fullerton.
Boo.
And I know. It's his one major fault. And I was talking to him. Actually, I saw him over the weekend. I was talking to him about, you know, I was like, what is up? You know, like, yeah. Why are the Ducks so bad this year?
Yeah.
And he said one word. He said two words.
Chris Pronger.
He said, no Pronger.
Yeah.
That's true. And we said this when they were traded. Actually, you know, I think at first you might have thought that was a good deal for them, but clearly it really wasn't.
Well, I thought Lucas Abisa might actually help them in the short term, and they've already sent him down, so back to junior. So basically all of the short-term help they would have gotten, well, Joffrey Lupo barely counts. So they really aren't playing with any of the rewards they got from the Pronger trade this year. And
you trade your team identity, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just not able to play effectively in that style without their sort of mascot for that style on the ice. So, hey, good. I'm happy. I'm glad they suck. And, you know, I'm not disappointed about that. But the thing about tonight with the Dallas game that I liked is the top line was dominant, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Joe Thornton had the puck all the time. They were doing good things. But, you know, the Dallas forecheck is tough. That, you know, Dallas certainly managed to break up the Sharks' attack for a lot of that game. They did regain it at times, but then again, Dallas had the... It was a pretty even game. And
it was a back and forth. Actually, more exciting than a 3-2 score really showed.
But it does bum me out a little bit that we're basically even with Dallas. I mean, you look at this game, these teams are basically even up. And if you look at some of the class teams, we looked at New Jersey winning tonight, Pittsburgh, Washington, obviously the Chicago game. Chicago's a big metric. If we're even with Dallas, and that means we're way below those other teams I just mentioned.
Right. I put something on the blog today, and I know this stat has already kind of been floated out there, but you know, the Sharks' record is a little bit misleading when you take overtime losses into account. You know, that's still a loss, and even though you get a point, I mean, you know, it's still sort of not a very prideful point, right? So if you look at the Blackhawks, I mean, they're way ahead of everybody else with a 676 win percentage. And the Sharks, not counting tonight, they're a 571 win percentage. Dallas they're actually 15-20. That's their record.
Yeah, I have a little bit of bone to pick with that, with those stats though, dude, because I mean, if you're only going to penalize the teams for losing in the shootout, then shouldn't you also not reward the teams for winning in the shootout? I mean, that's not a skill that's going to win you playoff games.
I think the shootout, I'm not a fan of the shootout. There was an interesting article actually in the Sporting News, I think this last week, about how Marty Turco was talking about how they should use the shootout in playoff games.
Oh, please.
I know. But overwhelmingly, people said the shootout is for the fans. It's not for the players. The coaches universally hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think a win's a win and a loss is a loss. And you're seeing teams play differently, you know, in order to just get the point.
That's right.
You know, instead of trying to get the win. So if you lose in overtime, you don't get anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's how it should be. You know, you get the 1 point for winning in overtime. And if you lose, you know, you're sort of rewarding a half effort. And I don't like how that, you know, evens out. So I think, you know, I think you do have to look at a loss as a loss. You losing games. It just shows the Sharks are not the cream of the Western Division or conference as it might appear. You know?
I understand, but the Sharks aren't very good in the shootout. So because they're not good in the shootout means they lose games, and other teams, because they are good in the shootout, means they win games. I see it as sort of an even up thing. I don't mind getting a point in the shootout. I would actually go back to ties. That would be, if I had to choose a new system, the 3-point system's okay. You know, you say 3 points for regulation win, 2 points for overtime or shootout win, 1 point for a loss, and 0 points for losing in regulation. I get that, but that's going to screw up all the historical records and make it really difficult to compare eras. I'd go back to ties. That would be that's my solution. 4-4 overtime, no shootout, ties. That's it.
But they won't do that because they're pandering to what the general fan wants. And the fans want something exciting. They want to see one-on-one action. You know, I guess it sort of goes into the fascination of what the NBA has sort of become, where it's not so much a team sport as more right. a one-on-one sport. And so they've kind of trickled that into hockey, maybe to try and grab some fans. So I'm sorry that we're in disagreement on that, dude. I guess we can't agree on everything.
Yes, well, it happens, dude. I think we'll get over it. Well, dude, there was another important thing that happened during the Anaheim game, a change to the Sharks team that we didn't have the last few games, right? Isn't that the case?
That's true. We had a player who was up on the roster and then got sent back down, and it was the return of Jason Demers.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mike, Jason Demers is back. He just came back up from Worcester. You know, he looked pretty good moving the puck. Mike, what do you think of Demers?
Demers. I think he's going to be the highest scoring defenseman in the history of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, he's going to make Brian Campbell look like a little sissy girl.
Demers.
That's right, Mike. Oh, I'm having a heart attack, Mike. I shouldn't have ate those 5 pounds of pork sausage. Oh, we're going to call it an upper body injury. Oh, it's an upper body injury, Mike. Oh. Next week, Sharks win 62-3.
See?
Yeah.
Totally works.
So if you're still listening now,
right.
I'd like to thank you. Dude, I'm glad Demers is back. I think that you can see the result of him being on the blue line. He's an effective puck mover.
Mm-hmm.
And we really missed that. You know, Jay Leach isn't going to bring that part to the game. And, you know, Derek Jocelyn really doesn't bring that to the game either.
Right.
Not like Demers does.
Outside of Boyle, there's really nobody to be a bit of a threat, you know, holding onto the puck, skating into the zone, that kind of stuff. Demers is really the only one. And despite making a few sort of young rookie mistakes now and again, the Sharks hopefully can shield him a little bit from that. But this is a guy that needs to be in a lineup every night, because if Boyle's the only one that's going to handle the puck and become a threat to drive it in, then when he's not on the ice, the other team knows exactly what the Sharks are going
to
do.
So, dude, this segues into what I'd like to talk about tonight.
Demers. Right?
Not Demers.
Okay.
But it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've changed my mind about what type of player I think the Sharks need. And I was watching a game before we watched the Sharks tonight, because the Sharks starts at 5:30, and I watched a 4 o'clock game on center ice, because I have it and you don't.
Boo. Dude, don't rub it in my
dude,
face.
Sorry. It's time to switch back. You ready to switch back? Not yet. So I think the Sharks maybe don't need another bruiser, another shot blocker, another guy like that. I think that what they overestimated with Vlasic is his ability to be a puck moving defenseman. I don't think he's that good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he doesn't seem to be as confident. And so your whole point that you said, you know, when Boyle's not out there, it's painfully obvious
right.
that there's nobody else who's going to be able to do the job. Rob Blake is not that type of player. He's never really been that type of player. He's more of a defensive defenseman with a great shot.
Right.
You know, and Vlasic can't cut it. And Demers does a nice job in 12 to 14 minutes right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking we need another puck mover.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the Red Wings, and you look at how successful they are, right? You know, you've got Lindstrom, Rafalski, and Erickson
mm-hmm.
to be paired with guys like Stewart, Lilja, and Cronwall.
Right.
All right? They're very even upped, and we're missing that other guy. So here is my trade proposal for the podcast.
Nice, dude.
Oh.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade. Dude.
I was watching the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. And I didn't quite get sick all over myself, but one player caught my eye and I started to wonder out loud. I said, self, could Joni Pitkinen help the San Jose Sharks? Mm. And I thought to myself, yes, he could. Now, you know, Pitkinen is the type of player that I think the Hurricanes are going to be looking to move him at the deadline.
Right.
Or even before. And so if you were to offer the Canes Vlasic for Pitkinen, I think they'd do it. And I think it would help us this year. And he's signed for next year, dude. What do you think?
the knock on Pekkanen is he has Ehrhoff disease, to not to put too fine a point on it. I mean, he was shipped. He was supposed to be sort of the savior in Philly. He got shipped to Minnesota, was it?
No, Edmonton.
Edmonton and then Minnesota?
No, he never was in Minnesota. Who Edmonton, am I
thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of
Philly.
I'm thinking of Kim Janssen. I'm sorry.
Philly to Edmonton to Carolina.
That's right. So this guy's been moved around a little bit, makes some mistakes, good puck mover. Didn't we just get rid of a guy like that? That's my initial reaction, dude. Not that I disagree with your assessment that we need a puck mover.
Right.
But is Yoni picking in the one?
Well, I haven't seen him play enough to know if he goes brain dead as much as Ehrhoff did and makes those kind of errors. I think he's been counted on more in his career to play those top two type of minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he seems to play 22, 24 minutes a night. You know, whereas, you know, Ehrhoff really didn't have that kind of responsibility. I'm going to look this up.
I looked up Ehrhoff the other day. He's actually third on the team in ice time behind Bieksa and Willie Mitchell. So he's not their go-to guy.
Right.
Ehrhoff is not.
But and he's having a good year. And
oh, no doubt. No doubt.
And, you know, sometimes players just need a change of scenery in order to kind of get... There was never a doubt about his talent.
Or just a change in role, maybe. I mean, look at Patrick Marleau, for God's sake.
Right.
I mean, this guy can't not score goals. Two more tonight. The second goal was spectacular. I mean, just blasted it by Turco. It was ridiculous. I mean, this guy... We talked to Mark Smith. You know, if you haven't heard the Mark Smith interview, it's in the second hour of our Chom Talk radio show we did a couple weeks ago. It's on the feed. Go listen to the Mark Smith interview. I mean, this guy... It seems like he put his finger right on the pulse of it. I mean, Patrick Marleau, he's got that load off his shoulders. He can just go out and play. And man, is he playing or what?
Dude, I'm going to got a stat here that's going to surprise you. Okay. Do you know who leads the entire NHL in ice time?
Dumb Mares.
Dan Boyle. 26 and minutes and 59 seconds.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I thought Pronger was up there.
Pronger is up there, 26-25. Do you know who's right behind Chris Pronger at 26-18? Yoni Pekkanen.
No kidding.
Yeah, 26 minutes a night. So it's not like, you know...
Yeah.
But then again,
Carolina's awful and terrible.
Okay,
maybe that's the reason.
But okay, no.
I'm not saying it's the reason.
I don't think that's the reason, but I think this is the type of guy that if you put him with somebody like Rob Blake, I mean, has he really had a partner like that in his career?
Probably not.
Well, I mean, and also, I mean... Let's take a look real quick on the fly here. Is how good was he in the playoffs last year? You know, Yoni Pitkinen, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes had quite a run.
Yeah, conference final. I mean, they came out of nowhere.
In the playoffs. And Pitkinen was a big part of that. He played 26 minutes a night for Carolina, and he had 8 points in 18 games. He was even up 16 penalty minutes, effective in that huge run.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like the idea. I think it's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
And it would cost you somebody like Vlasic.
I'm coming around to this idea, dude.
Think of how mortified we were the other night when Boyle hit the deck.
Oh yeah.
And we have no protection. We got nothing.
Yeah.
If he goes out, we're screwed. And to be as dramatic as possible, seriously, season over, flatline.
Yeah.
Sharks will probably limp into the playoffs, but if Boyle's gone, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one to quarterback this team. He's the most valuable player. So, you know, if you bring in a guy like Pekkanen, it's insurance to Boyle. And also, I mean, if you're running out Blake and Boyle and then you're throwing out Pekkanen and Demers on that second pairing, the power play just got way better.
Yeah, it's true.
Have I made my case?
You've made a good case, dude. You made a really good case. We want to hear from you. Questions at dudesonhockey.com. You can give us your take. You can respond to the post on our Facebook page. You can search for Dudes on Hockey on Facebook, become a fan of ours, and get notification when we post new podcast episodes and comment and all that stuff. You can always comment on the blog, dudesonhockey.com. So we want to hear what you think. Dude, it's the holiday show, second annual. Podcast is getting long in the tooth now. We're high in the double digits in terms of episodes. It's time to have our Christmas wishes.
Really, dude?
It's Christmas wish time, dude.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Dear Santa, what do I want for Christmas, Santa? I want the Sharks to stop giving up leads in the third period as easily as the Kardashian sisters give away their dignity.
Oh, nice, dude. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit more straight than that. I want Rob Blake to regain some semblance of his shooting and scoring form. He's on pace for only half of his goal output from last year. We need a few more goals from Rob Blake.
Santa, you already granted one of my wishes, but you misread what I wrote. I very clearly wrote down, set the Chicago Blackhawks equipment on fire.
Oh, damn.
Maybe it's time for LASIK, Santa.
Okay, this one's short and sweet. Center ice on Uverse. Come on. Center ice on Uverse.
Dude,
Jesus.
You need to switch back. All right. Okay. All right. Dear Santa, mm-hmm. please, whatever you do this holiday season, grant us this one wish. Do not let any of our precious players get injured in the Vancouver Olympics.
Yeah.
And also let the United States make it to the medal round. Nice. Please.
Nice, dude. That's
and I also want The Hangover on Blu-ray.
Mine is a little bit interesting. Santa's going to have to do some work to make this happen.
Okay.
I want Ivan Vyshnevsky to be traded to every team we play from here on out until the end of the season, right before we play them, just in case.
But, dude, most of all.
Most of all.
Santa, we want.
We still want.
The Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Dude, happy holidays
to you. Happy holidays, dude. Oh, one more present, dude.
Oh, wait. Dude. Dude, I am not prepared for this tonight.
Don't you love those awkward moments when you give someone a present and they don't have their present to give to you? And then they get this look that Doug has on his face right now where he's like, damn it, dude, I didn't bring your present. And so I have to give him the present and then he can get all pissed off at me.
Son of a bee.
Open it, dude. Open it. You're going to love it, dude. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Yeah. It
dude?
Could be.
Dude? No.
Look at this, dude.
Dude, the Stockton Thunder for our road trip on Tuesday, dude. Very nice.
Nice, dude.
Just to remind the listeners, Mike and I, actually, after the next podcast, you will have heard us right after we get back from our road trip to Stockton to see the ECHL Stockton Thunder hockey team take on Bakersfield,
I believe that's right.
Dude, this is awesome.
So
thank
now,
you
dude, you're all going to be you're all going to be hooked up. You got it's an officially licensed ECHL t-shirt.
I can see that.
No knockoffs, dude.
I'm going to
only the best for you.
I'm going to wear this with pride on Tuesday night, dude, and thank you very much.
And in case we need an extra highway cone, dude, that thing is bright yellow. Hey now.
Just you won't even need to turn your lights on when we're in the car.
I'll just strap you to the hood.
Just strap me in. Wow. This is like the gold color of the Minnesota Vikings, like the purple and gold. It's that.
It's quite bright.
It is. Dude, thank you very much.
You're welcome,
I appreciate it. And I'm kind of mad at you, but thank you. Anyways, dude.
I can get over
it.
I'll get over it. All right,
I did bring you something, but it's not even a present. Here's the season ticket holder President's Trophy pin that's been sitting on my desk.
Oh.
I know. You don't even want that.
No, I do not want
You know
this.
That President's Trophy poster that we got opening night?
Yes.
Threw it out.
Did you throw it out?
Yeah.
I threw mine out, too.
I just didn't want a reminder of that.
Yeah.
It almost was just too painful to get that on opening night. That was a poor choice. It's almost as bad as the whose side are you on t-shirt wearing from last year.
Who apostrophe S side are you
whose
on?
Whose side are you on? Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, everybody. Okay, couple NHL news.
Yes.
Because it's big. We have to mention it. Martin Brodeur set the record for NHL shutouts tonight versus the Pittsburgh Penguins, no less. Defending Stanley Cup champions. Where does Brodeur stack up in the pantheon of NHL goaltenders?
He's number one to me because he's my fantasy league goalie. Bam!
Bam!
He ranks probably... gosh, dude. It's hard. It's hard not to say... He's got to be number one, dude.
He's... In my book, he's definitely number one.
Yeah.
There's no question. I was reading some stuff.
Well, I mean, dude, I don't know. Ed Belfour?
Close. Mike Vernon, maybe?
Mike Vernon.
No, I was reading Behind the Net Hockey, which is a blog on SBN, written by Gabriel Desjardins, who also does behindthenet.ca. And he wrote a post saying the goal overall goal output, he overtook Terry Sawchuk, who played mostly in the 50s. In the early and mid-50s was essentially the dead puck era of scoring in the NHL. The average number of goals scored, despite the trap era that Brodeur played through, was still a higher scoring era than what Sawchuk played through. So the fact that Brodeur could still overcome Sawchuk in shutouts is just unbelievable. He is the best of all time, no question. No question in my mind.
He doesn't seem to be getting showing any signs of age, does he?
No, not at all. I mean, he has to start for Canada too, right? Marc-Andre Fleury, I think we heard EJ Raddick say maybe on NHL Live last week that Marc-Andre Fleury might be number two. And I heard him say, what's Luongo done? I mean, he's a great goaltender, but it's not like he's really put up a lot of stuff in the playoffs.
If I were them in the first round, I'd play him each one game. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason to wear anybody out here.
You play him against Senegal or whatever.
Yeah. Play Brodeur against the U.S. and then let the other two guys split the games against Switzerland and what's the other team? Slovakia that's in their division.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are...
Or Slovenia.
Slovakia's
good, Slovenia's not. Am I right on that? I can't remember. I don't want to be accused.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think they're going to have much trouble with either of those teams. Canada's probably going to, laugh their way to the medal round.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the case. Other news, dude. I mean, it's also a big day because Mike Fisher proposed to Carrie Underwood. I just want to get that out there. So, good for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
I wonder if Cheech and Mahalik are going to go to the wedding, because that could be cool.
It's possible. I'll tell you who's not going.
Danny Heatley. Yeah, I don't think he'll be invited. Or maybe like Fisher's the one guy left in Ottawa that's still friends with Danny Heatley. Who knows?
Yeah, that's good for him, man. You know, she's all right.
I give it 6 months.
You give it 6 months. How long before she's dating Dion Phaneuf?
7 months. Oh, man, that's brutal. That's good for him.
Congratulations to the lovely young couple.
Yes, absolutely. Well, dude, that's all I have. Unless you have some other NHL news that is quite pressing here.
I don't have any pressing news, but I would like to tell everybody that Dudes on Hockey has their own YouTube channel now.
Oh, nice,
that we've
dude.
Started, and we have a sort of a best of Dudes on Hockey demo from last year that we have up there, and we're gonna try to take some video on our trip to the Stockton Thunder.
That could be fun.
We're sitting in a luxury box, so
well, we're in club seats.
But that's the basically the equivalent of a luxury box there. So we're gonna try and bring a video camera with us to take some video and put it up on YouTube, and hopefully we'll be able to put some other original content on there. So the other thing I just want to say is, in the new year and this holiday season, tell a friend about Dudes on Hockey.
That's right. Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Let that be your gift. The gift of hockey.
The gift of Dudes on Hockey.
That's right.
Dude, another little teaser that I'm just going to throw out there. I got a new shipment of Dudes on Hockey t-shirts.
Oh,
in.
You did?
So now I have all sizes. So now the question is, what's the contest? Well, you're just going to have to tune in and find out, because I don't have a contest for you right now. Might have to wait till after the new year, but believe me, it's coming. In the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, there will be an opportunity for you, the listener, to gain yourself
a completely useless t-shirt.
Dude!
Oh, I'm kidding, dude.
Dude, you can't say that.
Come on.
You're underselling the whole thing.
This shirt is cool, actually.
It's cool.
I've given one to my dad. He loves it.
Nice.
We have another one kind of floating around out there.
That's right.
So there's only 4 shirts out there in public.
Yeah, there's only a few.
So it's a limited collector's item, and they're not for sale.
Not for sale. You have to earn them.
And we've had several people email asking, can I buy a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt? And to you, we say, no.
I thank you very much for the inquiry.
You must earn it.
You have to earn it. Like E.F. Hutton, for those of you old enough to remember the E.F. Hutton commercial.
So we'll have some sort of contest in the new year, dude.
Yeah. There'll be something there to get yourself a brand new shirt, and we'll have small, medium, large, and extra large. So hopefully that'll cover the gambit of everyone that might want to be wearing a Dudes on a Hockey t-shirt. And of course, if you happen to spot one with the number 2 on the back and the name being Dude, then come up and say hi, because
it's probably us.
It's probably us, because there's not too many of these suckers out there. So anyway, I give that to you, dude. It's a last gift to our listeners in the new year.
Fabulous. All right, dude, we got to wrap this up. I got to get on a flight in 5 hours.
Sweet, dude. That sounds fun.
It's delightful. I'm going to be showing up about 5 hours early, and I hope I can get in first class.
Good time. Dude, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you for my shirt.
You're welcome. Happy holidays, dude, listeners.
Dude, you're welcome for your pin.
Yeah. Where's the garbage?
That's horrible.
Okay. Happy holidays, everybody, from us at Dudes on Hockey, and we'll catch you again next week, same time, same place.
Go Sharks!
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.